last Sunday of the year. Time flies. It is unbelievable. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but Velvet got out, got on her phone, and we threw it up there on the Apple TV thing on the TV, and streamed some of our old videos just a couple days ago, and it was so cute. And I look back at little Ben and Faith and the way they talked and the way they looked and the chubby little cheeks of Ben and all this other kind of stuff, and I can't believe that it looks like it was so long ago, but then it looks like it was yesterday. I mean, time just flies. And so as I think about that, as I, you know, transitioning from one year to another, we always think about time, at least I do, and about diets and all that. But then I quickly forget about diets, and I think about time and other things that are more philosophical and theological and easy to get my hands around than dieting. And so anyway, so I think about time, and when I think about time, I think, you know, I'm sick and tired of getting ripped off of my time for like worry, you know, worry, anxiety. That's just, you're just getting ripped off from time that you could be spending enjoying God and others. I don't know. I just think about those things. I get mad at the devil and then I pray. Anyway, so here we are this morning. That's not at all what this message is about. I just thought I'd just talk about that and share that with you. It's something I've been processing. So anyway, I want to start off with some information here. Many of you may be familiar with this, but at sunrise on Sunday morning, December 7th, 1941, 350 Japanese warplanes flew through a mountain pass over the island of Oahu and rained down death and destruction on Pearl Harbor. 8 battleships, 10 smaller warships were sunk or put out of commission. 200 American planes were destroyed. 3,581 American servicemen were killed or wounded on that day in that short amount of time. The USS Arizona took a bomb down its stack. The boilers, the oil tanks, the munitions magazine exploded. The battleship went down in 8 minutes, entombing 1,177 sailors. President Roosevelt called the day a day of infamy. The national battle cry, which led the United States and continued to fuel the United States in and through World War II, was "Remember Pearl Harbor." Remember Pearl Harbor. Might be familiar with this statement. Those who do not learn history are doomed to repeat it. Now that statement is attributed to a philosopher and a writer named George Santayana. But when you look back at how he wrote the original statement that's been revised a little bit to what we have today, it goes like this. He said, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. It's important that we remember the past. One of the reasons we want to remember the past is so that we avoid the silly junk that we maybe were involved in before. So we want to remember those things so that we cannot make the same mistake and keep doing the same insane thing over and over and over, so that we don't have to continue to walk in the pain of the past. So we want to remember those things, not to dwell on them, but to learn from them and not go there any longer. But there's another reason that we want to remember the past. We want to remember the good of the past. It's important to remember the good of the past. Why? So that we can give thanks where thanks is due. We want to remember the good of the past so that we can continue to press into those good things that we've done before that have brought us closer to God and to one another. Because that's what a good thing will do. It will bring you closer to God and it will bring you closer to others. And it's important that we remember those things, and that we give thanks for those things. God wants us to remember. You know, we read throughout Scripture where the Lord is instructing his people to remember, to not forget. He even at times tells them to build memorials, create things that will remind them of what God has done for them in the past. God wants us to remember. I read this poignant statement this week. It goes like this. If we have no memory, we are adrift. Because memory anchors us to the past, it interprets the present, and charts a course for the future. Remembering is important. Last week, Jeff Newton, our care pastor, brought a word from Psalm 103. He brought it to pre-service prayer, and the Lord just highlighted it, and so I asked him to share it with the whole congregation last Sunday, and he did. It's from Psalm 103. But I haven't been able to shake it. So I woke up Monday morning thinking about Psalm 103. And that's really going to kind of be the anchor for this last message this year. So open up your Bibles to Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So again, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. God wants you to remember. That's the title of this message, the last message of this year, of this decade. Wow, that makes this sound really important, doesn't it? Anyway, the last message of the decade. God wants you to remember. Specifically, God wants us to remember all his benefits. And we just went through some of those benefits in Psalm 103. If we look back at it, forgiveness of all of our sins. His benefits of healing our diseases. How many of you this year have been healed of something? God has healed you. Look at all, now look, keep your hands up. Look at the hands around the room. These are testimonies that God has physically healed people. He's still in the business of healing. He's a miracle working God. He is our healer. He does it his way, in his timing, but rest assured, he is our healer. I want to see it. Put your hands up again because that just encouraged me so much. Come on, let's thank the Lord. God is so good. He heals all of our diseases. What are his benefits? He redeems our life from the pit, meaning he pulls us out of the past. I heard some testimonies this morning about how God has brought deliverance in people's lives and pulled them from the trajectory of death and destruction and put them on the path to life and that to the full. God redeems us from the pit. His grace breaks every chain that wants to take us down and out. And he crowns us with love and compassion. Now, I tell you this, before Jesus, before receiving the benefits of God through his son, Christ Jesus, I was pretty deficient. I still am a little bit, but it's getting smaller. I was a little deficient. I was a lot deficient back then in love and compassion. But one of the benefits of being in Christ Jesus, man, the fruit of the Spirit comes on it. We are transformed. We are made new. We are becoming and becoming and becoming ever transformed from glory to glory, more and more like Christ Jesus. Love and compassion, all of his benefits that we are receiving as his children. We're no longer orphans. We're no longer, God doesn't, if you're in Christ Jesus, if you've been justified in Christ Jesus, he even changes the title of who you are. Do you know that Scripture says that if you're in Christ Jesus, we're called saints now? But wait a minute, I did this yesterday. I know that. But that's not who you are. That's who you were. You're no longer sinners, but saints. I mean, these are all the benefits that we get from God, all of his benefits, and he doesn't want us to forget those things. Let's hear this very clearly. This last message of the year. God does not want you to forget who you are in Christ Jesus. He does not want you to forget what he's done for you. He does not want you to forget your identity that is sealed in Jesus. Your past is covered. Your present is covered. Your future is glorious because all of the benefits from God that we have in and through Christ Jesus. God doesn't want you to forget those things. He wants you to remember those things. He wants you to wake up every day and remember those things. That's one of the reasons that he has instructed us to take communion regularly, so that we would not forget all of his benefits, that we would remember his work, how far he went for us. That's why we have it available every single Sunday at Evident Life Church, the fourth Sunday of every month. We're taking it corporately together and on other occasions too, so that we remember and don't forget all of his benefits. We're heirs and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. Every time I read that and think about that, I'm like, there's no way, but God said it, so it is, man. We're heirs and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul reminds us of this truth about remembering benefits and where all this good stuff comes from. It's in Apostle James does. It's in James 1, verse 16. Check this out. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Do you see that now? Every good and perfect gift, every benefit, let's look at it from the lens of 103, Psalm 103, right? Every benefit, every good and perfect gift comes from where? Comes from what we're able to make happen? Just comes from evolution of our society that we live in, because our society's so good at giving us good things. No. Every good and perfect gift comes from where? It comes down from the Father of the heavenly lights. That's the creator of the universe. And it says this, he doesn't change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So all of his benefits. But I was contemplating it this week, and I'm thinking, but what are the greatest benefits? And for me, what I came up with is one of the greatest benefits we have as those who are redeemed in Christ Jesus is that we can know God and be known by him. I mean, that's scandalous. That's crazy that we can know God and be known by him. By the way, that's Galatians 4:9. Didn't just make that up. All right. We can know God and be known by him. And this knowing God that's talked about in Galatians 4:9 isn't a casual knowing him. It's not the kind of, you know, like knowing about him. It's not just knowing God by word of mouth. But it's an intimate, real knowing. The Greek word used there in Galatians 4, verse 9, is gnosko. Gnosko. You can go around and start using that term when you're just walking around talking to people, and yeah, you'll be that crazy guy. But anyway, it's Greek. And so it's gnosko, and gnosko, this is the meaning of that. It's to know by experience. In other words, it's to have firsthand knowledge and interaction and experience. We now, in Christ Jesus, can know God, can gnosko him, can have firsthand interaction and experience with the living God. You want to talk about a benefit? That's a benefit. You know, the world, it's all about who you know. Have you heard that statement, right? It's all about who you know. Well, let me tell you this. I gnosko, I know the creator of the universe. I know the Almighty One, the most powerful one, the uncreated one. So there. Anyway, it's the kind of relationship, this gnosko, that's best found and described and shown in the marital relationship between a husband and a wife. Intimacy. I mean, that's one of the benefits we have, is to know God intimately, not just about Him. Yes, we can know and we need to know about Him, but we can also interact and experience and talk with and hear and be in His presence. He's not far off. He's very near, Scripture says. So we got to remember all the benefits and live in the reality of these benefits. I want to encourage you to do that. Not just the rest of this year, the last few days of this year, the first week or so. Don't just make it something that you do as a New Year's resolution and then you forget about it. Like the diet, you know, but I'm going to do it, baby. I'm going to do it, honey. We're going to at least a week or two and maybe all year. Let's see it. Come on, Jesus. He gives me all I need for life and diet and godliness. And He does. Spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. I could go on and on about it. Anyway. So we got to remember all of His benefits and live in that reality. But what about the trials? That's really the second point. I only have 3 points today. Sorry, it's not a real sermon then, right? But we only got 2 points. What about the trials? In other words, what about the rough times? We remember all of His benefits, but what about when life wasn't so kind to us? When it was painful? How do we process this reality? Well, we do it through God's word. We do it God's way. So I want to look at another psalm. We were in Psalm 103. Let's look at Psalm 34 here. Psalm 34 in verse 19 says that a righteous man may have many troubles. And when you read that, you think, wait a minute, that doesn't sound fair. That doesn't sound right. I'm a child of God. He gives good gifts, you know, to His children. Yet Scripture says that a righteous man may have many troubles. We live in a broken world. Let's just talk about this for a little while. Why is it that a righteous man has many troubles? Because a righteous man or woman, those of us who have been made righteous in Christ Jesus, we still live in this broken world. We still live in a world where sin has distorted things and has broken things. And we're living in that reality right now, and we're coming in contact with that reality on a daily basis, a broken reality. We've been made new. We know that all things have been made new in us, and our eternity, Revelation 21, all things are made new and perfect. But we live in a broken world. It's messed up. And when we come in contact with this world, yeah, it says that even the righteous may have many troubles. But then it says this, but the Lord delivers him from them all. A righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. That's powerful. And I know it's hard to understand and get our minds around when we're in the middle of walking through the hard stuff, when the broken world is pounding us, is hurting us. It's hard to wrap our minds around this. But this is truth. This is reality. But I don't feel it. I don't see it. But this is truth, though. This is reality. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But you know what? Refuge is coming. Deliverance is coming, because God's word has said that is so for the righteous. So what trials and troubles did you encounter in 2019? For some of the Evident Life Church family, there's been some significant ones in 2019. No joke. Heavy stuff. Intense. But the Lord wants to remind us that He is good. He's God. He wants us to remember that He sees, that He knows, that He's not left us or abandoned us in this condition or this situation, that He's our deliverer. He's your refuge. In the midst of this trouble, He's your refuge. We can trust Him, press into Him, wait upon Him. And I know so many in this room are right now. Every day, you're getting up and you're trusting Him and you're waiting on Him. That's the next right thing, often. God wants us to remember that He remains our hope and that He remains our future. As I was processing it even last night, I just got this, it's a word from the Lord. It really is, but not like, you know, it's processed through Pastor Eric, so hear me out here. God wants you to know that He has your whole world in His hands. He wants you to know that. He's got your world, your whole life, in His big, strong, capable hands. Those of us who shake Wayne Mihailo's hand think that his hand is big and strong. He ain't got nothing on God, is all I'm saying. Amen. God has your life. Every situation and circumstance in your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything. He has your whole world. Your past, your present, and your future. He has it in His strong, capable hands. And that's exactly where we want our lives to be. I don't want my life to be in anybody else's hands, surely not my own hands. I want my life in His hands. And the Lord wants you to know that as you're in Christ Jesus, as you're trusting Him, as you're remaining in Him, your life, your whole life is in His hands. The Lord also wants us to remember Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, I love that word all. You know what all means in the Greek? It means all. It means all. All. That in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. In other words, the Lord is taking those things that the enemy meant to take us down. He's taking those broken circumstances and situations that very easily could take us out. And He's using those circumstances. He's actually going to use, He will use, He promises to use even the pain that we have received from those broken situations, using it to build us up. That's what God promises, to perfect us. He's going to use those broken circumstances and situations to even draw us deeper into Him. Therefore, do not lose heart. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Don't lose heart. Whatever your circumstances are, don't lose heart. Though outwardly it says we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So what do we do with this truth, understanding this truth? We're experiencing one thing, but we know that God has us in His hands. What do we do? So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Now let me say that about when we don't fix our eyes on what is seen. It doesn't mean that we play this crazy game like, no, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. You know, my arm isn't broken when your bone is sticking out. No, we don't play that game. If your arm is broken, it's broken. You know, I mean, if you're sick, you're sick. So we don't play games with words like that. But what we do is we go, even the situation that I'm experiencing and walking through right now, that's not ultimately my future. That's not where things are heading. Things are heading towards what God has stated, and that's He's renewing me day by day. In His way, in His timing. And we also got to get out of our little narrow world that's like, you know, 80, 90 years long. And we got to realize that God is operating in our eternity. Anyway. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. Praise God for that. But what is unseen is eternal. Joseph's brother. Joseph back in the OT, the Old Testament. He's the guy with the coat of many colors. He had the dreams, you know, about how awesome he was and how everybody's going to bow down to him. And his brothers didn't like that so much. And so what did his brothers do? His brothers revolted and treated him poorly, ended up selling him into slavery. I mean, that's a bad circumstance. That's a bad situation when your brothers sell you into slavery. Ends up in prison. I mean, the guy went through some seriously bad situations. But here's his response, because he had a vision for the bigger picture. This is Joseph's response. Joseph says, look, you intended me, brothers. You intended to harm me. But God intended it for good. Even him going into slavery, prison, all the stuff he went, wrongly accused, all this stuff that he went through, it was intended to harm him, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done. Years later, going through hard things. It doesn't seem right. Where is God? Where is God? Where is God? Whoops, there he is. There he is. And he used all this for my good, and not just my good, but for the good of a nation, for the good of humanity. Something so much bigger than ever could have been in my plans if I would have held my whole world in my hands and done it my way. Committed to God, he promises that he can and will take whatever pain you're experiencing and draw something good from it. But my circumstances, you don't understand, they're really bad. Right? The harm was great. The damage was extreme. The depth of my suffering was, anyway. Is there any way? There is. God is able. Make all things. I want to read another statement that I read this week. It goes like this. God took the very worst thing that has ever happened in the history of the universe, the deicide, or the death of God on the cross. He took that and he turned it into the very best thing that has happened in the history of the universe. The opening up of heaven to all who follow him. So, if God can take the very worst circumstance imaginable and turn it into the very best situation possible, can he not take the negative circumstances of your life and create something good from them? He can, and he will. And then in no way does this denigrate or put down the reality of hard things that we're walking through. In no way is it sugarcoating the difficult situations, because hard stuff is hard and it's painful. And we need to comfort one another through that and walk with one another through that. But we also have to remember that if God has done it before, he'll do it again. And if God has said he would do it, he will do it. And we have to remember that God is able to take even the worst circumstance and turn it to the best situation. When? I don't know. But he's going to do it his way. Might not look the way that you're thinking it or scripting it to work of how it's all going to end and transition into the next season. God's working it, though. He's going to do it his way in his time. Let's remember that. And so we return to Psalm 103. Let's stand up. Psalm 103, once again. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Let's say that together. It's on the screen. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Looking back, let's look back into 2019 with thanksgiving. That every good and perfect gift came from the Lord. He is the one who provided all of those good things. For all those hard times, God has given you grace to persevere to this moment. You're here right now. It's not taking you out. If God was there for you yesterday, if he's here for you today, he'll be here for you tomorrow. His grace is sufficient. And there is deliverance coming. And there's victory that's already been won. And so now we're looking forward to the future. And I hope we're looking forward to the future with anticipation. Because if God is on the throne, if God's already gone before us with all his benefits, with every good and perfect gift, I mean, our future is one that's bright. Why? Not because you're all that in a bag of chips, but because God is. God is God, and he's gone before you. And again, he has your whole world in his strong and capable hands. So I want us to give God the glory. I want us to do that by singing once again, by lifting up our voices, by declaring his goodness, by speaking truth, by saying that God has done every good thing for us. And again, he's done it in the past. He'll do it again in the future.